إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa said, أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقول هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقول هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, wherever you may be, death will overtake you even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. And if some good reaches them, they say, this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls them, they say, this is from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say, all things are from Allah. So what is wrong with these people that they fail to understand any word? I remind you and myself, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned death very clearly in his kalam in many places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned death in this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly that death will come to you no matter where you may be, no matter if you think that you can protect yourself from death by building a fortress around yourself. And please understand, the fortress is not necessarily mud and brick. The fortress is not necessarily a fort as in we understand forts which are used for war and also and other things. A fortress today, in today's world, in today's understanding, a fortress which is built against death is a hospital, for example, or is some kind of medical treatment that somebody advises you. The fact of the matter is that no matter what hospital, no matter what medical treatment, when the time for death comes, death will come. No matter what you do, death will come. Now, key thing to understand, the reason I'm saying this is because death is inevitable. Jahannam is not inevitable. Now, what happens to a lot of people is that when they are close to death, the desire to live becomes so strong. The desire not to leave this world becomes so strong. And the reason why that desire becomes strong is because this world is what they have invested everything into. And they don't want to leave this world. And they do not want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do not like death at all. And that's why when the time for death comes, they will try every means in their power to avoid death. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in using all kinds of means in order to cure illness and sickness, using any kind of means not to avoid death, because death is the only thing which is inevitable. It is going to happen no matter what. But the issue of trying to cure sickness, so nothing wrong with trying to cure sickness, but if those cures take you into an area where your iman is threatened, where because of the cures or because of your belief in the cures, your iman itself is in question, then it is something which is very, very dangerous. As I said, death is inevitable. Jahannam is not inevitable. Now, I was reading the history of the first emperor of China, the man who built the Great Wall of China. He united the four kingdoms of China. United meaning he conquered them. So that's how they got united. But basically he created a military force, a formidable military force, and he conquered the four kingdoms. And he became what is called the first emperor of China. He became the emperor of all of that area. the most powerful Chinese emperor that ever existed. He is the man, as I said, who built the Great Wall of China. He is the man whose tomb is in the process of being excavated, and they've been working on it for almost decades now, and very slowly they are doing it. They are trying to excavate it and see what's in it. And one of the great wonders that they have excavated is it's what's called the Terracotta Army, which is this whole army of terracotta warriors, all of which are life size, full size warriors, which is really one of the wonders of the world, of how such an army was, such so many thousands of figures were created and set up in that space underground. Now, reason I'm mentioning this is because one of the things that this great emperor of China, the first emperor of China, did was that after a while, once he had finished his conquest and so on, and there was really no other conquest to be done, one of the things that he got obsessed with was of prolonging his life. So, and see how this whole thing works. His physicians advised him to take mercury. So he used to take tablets of mercury, small tablets of mercury, and because they thought mercury had these magical powers to ward off death and to give eternal life. But today we know that mercury is actually a cumulative poison which collects in the body until it reaches a fatal level, and then it kills. So here was this king who, in order to avoid death, was poisoning himself. Now see the irony of that. See the irony of that. And then there's this whole film on the first emperor of China, and there's this amazingly poignant scene where he knows now that there is nothing to save him, so he goes to the edge of his empire, to where the sea is, and he stands on a hill and he literally screams and he says that I'm dying, and what can I do? I mean, how can I live? How can I not die? But the point I'm making here is that no matter who you are, rich or poor, king or commoner, death will come, absolutely. So we need to look at and think of and say, death is going to happen, we will die. So it's not whether we die or we don't die, it is how we die. And that is the important thing. How do I die? Do I die in a state of Iman, content, heart at peace, making peace with my Rabb, having asked His forgiveness and having hope in His mercy? Or do I die in a state where I am terrified of meeting death, I'm terrified of going into the in the world of Akhirah, where I hate to leave what I have and I am running behind something which I am trying to cling to, something which is definitely going to be taken away from me, no matter who says what and no matter who does what. Now, in this whole process of trying to prolong death and trying to prolong life and trying to avoid death, that is where people fall into also the trap of all sorts of so-called cures and whatnot, some of which lead into shirk. I mean, it's quite clearly they lead into shirk. We live in a country today in India where there are zillions of people who make a lot of money promising all kinds of cures, which are basically, based on magic or whatever means they have, but it's definitely not something which is either scientific or logical or which Islam permits. So it's things which are against Islam, things which are completely haram, things which are totally shirk. But we find thousands of people falling into that. Unfortunately, not only people who are not Muslim, but also people Sometimes Muslims fall into this trap because of their desperation to cure a disease which is probably going to be fatal, and forgetting a very simple fact, which is that cure comes from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure what He wants to cure, what he has decreed that should be cured. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the dua, أَسَلُ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمُ أَنْ يَشْفِيَكِ. And he said, send salat and salam on him 3 times, and then read this dua 7 times, and then send salat and salam on him 3 times. So if you read the durood 3 times, and 7 times we read this dua, أَسَلُ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمُ أَنْ يَشْفِيَكِ, and then we read the durood 3 times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if this illness of yours is something which is not your fatal illness, it's not your last illness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure it. And if it is your fatal, if it is the last illness, if it is the fatal illness, then alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to make tawbah, that death didn't come suddenly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to make peace with Him, to arrange our affairs in such a way that we don't leave the world in a state of chaos, that we ensure that we take care of our worldly affairs, that Allah subhanahu alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to think and reflect on our lives so that we make tawbah and we correct our aqeedah, we correct our amal, and then inshallah we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where we have the hope in His mercy and in His forgiveness. So it's the whole approach of how do we look at that illness, that fatal illness or perhaps fatal illness, because we don't know that it's fatal. We expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure that illness. But if it is the fatal illness, if it is the illness with which we are supposed to die, then alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this illness to us so that we use this illness as a means of seeking and getting His forgiveness and meeting Him in a state where we will not have to fear His punishment, where we can look forward to His forgiveness and His mercy. Now, instead of that, if we fall into the trap of all these quacks and shamans and witch doctors and Allah knows who will try to cure, to tell us that, you know, do this and do that, and effectively all of those things are shirk, and you will be cured and you will not die. I mean, this is snake oil. I mean, this is absolute rubbish and absolute falsehood, that we should that anyone with any sense whatsoever, even if the person is, whether you're Muslim or not, I mean, anyone with any sense will not fall into these traps. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan. This is where fatal weaknesses in aqeedah, fatal weaknesses in belief, fatal weaknesses in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show up. Because now the heart and the mind and the qalb and the ruh is being tested, and shaitan does his best to lead us astray, because we may have lived a whole life on haqq, and then in our last moments, if we fall into the trap of shaitan and we start believing in shirk and we start committing shirk and we start allowing shirk to be done in our name, with the belief that this shirk is going to cure us, then we are going to fall into the trap of the hellfire. And that's why it's very, very important for us to understand this and not fall into the trap of shaitan, and ensure that we remain on the aqidah of haqq, on the aqidah of tawheed. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no one who can give me any benefit, or who can cause me any harm, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allahumma la mani lima atayta wa la muti lima manata wa la yanfaz wal jadda min kal jad. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He wants to give, nobody can take away, and whatever He wants to take away, nobody can give. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the realities of our life before it is too late. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing Him, which pleases Him, and to save us from that which doesn't please Him, and to live this life in this world with the consciousness that one day we will die. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to face death when the time comes in a way where we stay on the path of haqq and we do not get misled into the path of batil, and that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where we hope for His mercy, and we hope for His grace, and we hope for His forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.